Psalms 25. Psalms 25. Now, we look at, a lot of times we look at Psalms 22 or Psalms 23 or Psalms 24, but Psalms 25 is kind of just left out of the three. Matter of fact, we mentioned those Psalms 22 is the cross. Psalms 23, we talk about the crook being the shepherd. And then Psalms 24 being the crown, talking about the sovereign. But then we come to Psalms 25, we see that David, Psalmist David is crying out. He's crying out to the sovereign, amen. He's crying out for supplication to God, that God would just touch and work. As we come to Psalms 25, the very first thing you notice about this text, about these verses, especially the first 11 verses, is all the things that he uses that are so personal. Unto thee, O Lord, I. He uses that I. Lift up my soul. O my God. See, he uses those personal pronouns and personal nouns telling us, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways. See how personal this psalm is to the psalmist David? And then he says this, not only show me thy ways, but O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercies, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us. God, I pray you'll help us to glean from the psalmist once again. God, in the last few Sundays, you've allowed us to be in the book of Psalms. And God, I pray that you'll help us now as we go to this psalm, that it will speak to our hearts. God, it's a personal psalm to David, and may we make it a personal psalms to us this morning. May you speak to our hearts and our lives, God, in a special way. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for saving us, and thank you for allowing us the privilege and the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you, Father, for the good choir singing and then the special singing. God, we thank you for that. Bless each one that's here. Touch hearts. I pray for that one that's not saved, that you'll show them their need of being saved by the marvelous grace of God this morning. Convict, Father, convince, convert, cheer, challenge. Help us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. As we come to Psalms chapter 25, David pleads in an earnest plea. He's begging, he's beseeching the Lord. He beseeches him for three things, if you will. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, he asks God to deliver him. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Amen. And then he asks this, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. He's asking for deliverance. He's asking that God would deliver him. And in verse number 18, look into my afflictions and my pain and forgive all my sins. He's wanting deliverance. And then we see in verses 2 and 3 for God's protection. He prays that God will protect him. I don't know about you, but I need that deliverance, don't you? And I need that protection. And he talks about the protection from trouble. And we see that in 2, 3. And in verse number 20, look at verse number 20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I have put my trust in thee. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're my fortress. You're my rescue. You're my shelter. You're the one that I'm dependent upon. You're the one that I trust that will protect me. Well, I don't think we could put ask for protection in any greater way than ask God to protect us. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that does protect us? when you and I as children of God, now we know this is the Old Testament economy. We know that David is writing, but you and I actually have a greater protection, if you will. In our day and time, the Spirit of God lives within inside of us. And I personally believe, the Bible teaches, I personally believe that we have a guardian angel. Some of y'all probably have two or three. You need it. Amen. We have a guardian angel. We have something that protects us. And we realize that if our eyes can be open, there's a demonic world out there. Amen. We don't speak much about that, but there truly is. The Spirit talks about it. The Scriptures talk about it, about the when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, and he dealt with some of those demonic spirits. We realize that. And they're still around. They didn't just go away. Amen. And so we realize, and so we need that protected hand. We need that protection. We need that protection as we live down here. And as we go to the book of Job, we understand that God's built a hedge around us. Yeah. We have a hedge that's built around us. And we have a protection. Now, and there's nothing, when you learn this truth, and it's a whole lot easier to learn this truth than it is to live this truth. And that is this, that nothing can come your way without it goes through God's hands first. And that's amazing. Amen. But we have that protection. We have that kind of protector. It's so funny. I probably shouldn't be saying this on the World Wide Web and to all you, but of course y'all are honest folks. I decided not to tell it at all. But we don't have a security system. I don't know how many does here. Aaron and them down where they live, the house they moved into has a security system, and they had to get it set up. Now, Deborah's always mentioned that she'd like to have a security system, and so she gave me a real hard time about that. Your son has a security system. We got a protector. We got God watching us. I mean, what better protector can you have? Now, I know security system is fine. I'm not preaching against that. But it was just funny. We was talking about that and having a little joke about it. And, you know, that in this day and time, you can check your house and look at the, they got cameras on it, and you can even lock the doors and all that stuff. It's just amazing, you know, that you can do those things. And so, but I'm glad that you and I have a greater protector than, what is that, ADT or AMT, whatever they are. Amen. I don't know what they are. Well, we have the Lord Jesus Christ protecting us. Now, that is if the Spirit of God is living inside of you. There is benefits for being saved. Amen. Amen. Benefits for being saved. And then we see David in chapter 25. David wants the Lord in verses 4 and 5. Not only is he praying and earnestly praying for these things to happen in his life, but he's also praying that God would be his instructor, a mentor. That God would instruct him, that God would mentor him, that God would show him. Look at verse number 4. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy path. Now, he's getting really serious with the Lord here, amen? Verse number 5, lead me. These three statements, show me, teach me, lead me. Hey, show me, set an example before me that I might follow. Show me, not to speak, but show me the ways in which to walk in. Well, you and I have 66 books that he's wrote down to show us a path. Amen. To show you and I a path. Then we see, he said, teach me. Give me instructions that I may obtain knowledge. I want to learn more of thee. Boy, he gave us 66 books to learn more of him. I don't know about you, but I've not consumed all that's in these 66 books yet. Have you? You know, you can read it from Genesis to Revelation. You can read it one time a year, two times a year, 10 times a year, and you'll still not consume it over a lifetime. You'll not consume all that's within it. What a blessing is that. I mean, it's a world of knowledge. It's a well that keeps on coming up and coming up. And then he said, lead me. Boy, he said, I want to follow you. I want you to go before me, and I want to follow you in the path of righteousness, in the right way. And that should be our desire. These are the things the psalmist is talking about. He said, David is saying, I want you to thoroughly train me. I want to learn of you, if you will. And so how about you? Do you have a desire to learn of him? Do you have a desire to be led by him? Do you have a desire to know his path? Do you have a desire to follow Jesus? I believe every child of God, even though some of our desires may be different, some may be greater, but I believe we all should have a desire to want to follow the Lord. Want to follow him. With that in mind, if we want to learn of him, if we want to be instructed by Him, if we want to be taught by Him, if we want Him to lead us and to guide us and to show us, if we want that, there's some things that's going to happen for you and I. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And so we're going to have faith, and we learn, and that learning helps us to have faith in the Lord. And there's some things that's going to have to be in your life if you're going to be a follower of the Lord. And it's not going to be an overnight success. This thing about following God, this thing about living for the Lord, this thing about being the Christian that God, I mean, it is a process. It is a step-by-step, just like getting that little child to make that first step, and then they start, begin to walk, and then they begin to run, and they're fluent in being able to run and do and play. It just don't happen overnight. It takes a process. It's the same thing with walking with God. It's the same thing about faith. It's the same thing about us trusting in the Lord. It's the same thing about us being able to have steps of faith and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is some things that you and I, for us to learn, there's some things that we must know. There's some basics, if you will, that's going to help us to let the Lord show us, to help the Lord lead us, to help the Lord to teach us, to help the Lord to guide us. And the very first thing, of course, you know you got to be saved. You got to be in the family. If you put it this way, if I put it this way, Brother Chuck, you got to be on speaking terms. Amen. Got to be on speaking terms. All right, we got to be on speaking terms with the Lord, and we got to be put in the family. And that's where we get in. When we get saved, we become part of the family of God. And the Bible says we can call upon Him. We can call Him our Abba Father. We have a Heavenly Father we can go to, a Heavenly Father we can call upon. So there's the first thing. Jesus has to be in our life. He has to be living inside of us. This morning, I don't really feel like I need to deal with that a lot, but I really want to put it in there and realize, hey, you need to be saved. Need to be born again. Have Jesus living within inside of you. But these are fundamental truths. And they're so common. I mean, but we have to have them. They're instructional, but we need them. Please don't be like it is when you get on the airplane. And you get on the airplane and, you know, the stewardess gets up and they begin to go through that speech about all the things, you know, and they pull out the thing. How many ever watches that? I mean, yeah. Only thing I watch is where is the float device if we're going over water. But I don't even do that. First of all, if that plane goes down, we're probably going to need any of that anyway. Somebody say amen. Y'all rough crowd this morning. Nobody pays attention to that. Now, the first time I ever flew, I had the muck out. You know, they have just a little, it's just a folder. You know, it's got three things. Y'all remember, y'all, from, you know, I remember taking these kids, they on their first flight. I mean, they got the book out. Look at how good. We got to figure this thing out. How's that thing going to fall down? I put it on my face. I pull this first. How did I do? How are we going to blow this thing up? And so they're looking at it. When I flew the first time, I looked at all that stuff. I mean, you know, I found where the exit door was. I looked down there to see where the lights were. Amen. And in your, when you first start walking with the Lord, you're more concerned about some of these things. But we don't watch it. We let some things go. I use this illustration in our Sunday school class this morning. It's like when you first get you go get your license. You know, you get this little book and you study this little book and you go down there. And for you that's so smart and you didn't need to study the book, and then you went and took a test and failed. But anyway, you get the little book and you go down there and you go down and you try to take the test. And you take the test and you pass. And you start driving. And you know what you do? You come at the stop sign and you stop. Full stop. You need to turn on your blinker, you turn on your blinker. You look both ways. But after you get driving a while, you start playing like you were in California. You come up, slow down, and sometimes on your freeway you turn on the blinker and sometimes you don't. Come on, Brother Trevor. Trevor, he does it all right. But anyway, we realize, hey, we get used to what we do, and we don't do it as well. We get slow. It's the same thing in walking with the Lord. If we don't watch it, we've been walking with the Lord a while, and we forget some things. One of the very first things that we need to, if we're going to learn of the Lord, if we're going to let the Lord lead us and let Him guide us, let Him teach us, the very first thing is, you know what you're going to have to learn to do? You're going to have to learn to talk to Him about your sins. You have to learn to ask for forgiveness. So you're going to have to be willing to say, hey, I've sinned. I've done wrong. The Bible says that David was lifting up his soul unto the Lord. And he was lifting up his soul to the Lord. Look at verse number 5. He said, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. He's praying, he's pleading. Hey, he's working up to something. He said, remember your mercy, Lord. He said, remember your loving kindness, Lord. It's just kind of like a kid coming. He knows he's in trouble, and he's talking to his dad. Amen. Now, Dad, remember, I am your son. And, you know, I got something I need to tell you. And just remember now, it is still wrong to kill and murder. You know, it's still bad. No matter if you, amen. Y'all went to your dad a few times. Amen. And you went to it, and some things that you'd done wrong, and you had to, and he's coming before the Lord. He said, remember now thy mercy. Remember thy loving kindness. He said, you know, remember, you've had that a long time. So what he's saying now, he said, have been ever of old, remember not the, he's getting to not the sins of my youth. Amen. He said, I want you to, and any all that, nor my transgressions. So, I mean, if you want the Lord to teach you, if you want the Lord to guide you, you want the Lord to lead you, the very first thing you have to do, you have to acknowledge your sins. Amen. You have to acknowledge. I'm talking about somebody saved now. You're going to have to acknowledge your condition with him. Hey, none of us in here is perfect. From the pulpit all the way to the back pew, nobody in here is perfect. And we're just like Lot, by seeing and hearing, we vex our righteous soul. By living in this world, we get dirty. By seeing the things, by our thought, by society, the things that are pushed upon us. And we just need to clean up. And if we're going to let God teach us, we're going to let God instruct us, we're going to let God lead us, then the very first thing we have to remember, the reality that sin is present in our life, we need to go to our Heavenly Father. The Bible says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother Stringer, it's not like he's going to beat us to death if we come to him. Now, you remember as you went into the back room, with dad, and you, he already knew your sin. Somebody say amen. That's why we was going in the back room. And so, and you confessed what happened. Punishment came anyway. Right. Most of the time, punishment came anyway. Right. Now, we realize, but when God forgives of our sins, when he forgives us, he don't punish the sin. Now, there's consequences for our sins. Whatever I had done to go in the back room, whatever the consequences were, that was still going to go on. Amen. That was going to happen. If I broke something, that was going to stay broken. Yeah. Well, our sins affects us and it affects others. And those effects and those things that we do, we can't change that. But you know what we can change? We can change our record with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can change our fellowship, a relationship with him. And when we sin, we don't lose our position. Hey, when I went out back room, when I came out, no matter what I confessed or what happened back there, guess what? I was still his son. Amen. And we're going to still be the son of God. To many of you see them, they gave him power to become the sons of God. We're going to be the sons of God. But the punishment, the consequences of sin will be there. But God forgives us of our sin. Aren't you glad that he forgives us of our sin? Amen. I'm glad the Bible says that he takes our sins away. Amen. Hey, matter of fact, the Bible says he's put them as far as the east is from the west. You know what he's saying? They're out of reach. Yeah. Amen. Hey, he put them, the Bible says in Isaiah, they put them behind his back. What he's saying, they're out of the way. Hey, he put them in the Bible says, he put them in Michael, it's in the depths of the sea. Amen. Have you already done? He put them out of sight. All right, and then in Hebrews it says that he decides to remember them no more. Isn't that wonderful? Well, what God does with our sin, he just put them completely out of his mind. And then Isaiah 44:22 said he blotted them out. Hey, they just completely out of view. Amen. What a blessing that is to know. What a blessing it is to know what God does with our sin. And so since God does that with our sin, why do we have such a hard time confessing it? I'll tell you why. Because you and I don't like to admit that we're sinners. We don't like to admit that we're wrong. We don't like to admit that we've done something wrong. We don't like to admit that we're not right with God. And we would rather fake, this is crazy, we would rather fake not being right with God than just to come before the Lord and get clean. And he said, if you'll come to me, if you'll confess your sins, I'm faithful just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from from all unrighteousness. Boy, it would be good this morning if you and I want to learn the Lord. We want to be taught by the Lord. We want to be, he'll show us his way, his path. Then if we would just be honest with God this morning, that we would be honest with him this morning, that we would be honest and let God touch our hearts and touch our lives. And just be honest about this thing of sin in our life. Because when we don't realize it, sin grows. Sin will grow in our life. One sin will cause it easy to go to another sin. And then when it lingers in our life, you know what? It's like a cancer. It eats in our life. And we realize that sin scars and mars our life. We understand that. But why it's in our life, that's after. But why we're in our life, it's affecting us. It affects our relationship with the Lord. It affects our relationship with others. It affects our spiritual walk. It affects our light, our witness, our testimony. Even if it's those secret sins. Even if it's those, what we will call those petty sins. It still affects us. And we need, we're never going to be sinless. I understand that. But there ought to be a time of confessing our sins before God. I just wonder, I believe people go for weeks, months, and never pray and really get down to business with God. And I'm not saying this now. I'm not talking about this little prayer. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. No. I ain't talking about that. Lord, you know I'm a sinner. Forgive me now. Sometimes we want to generalize our sins, though. Yeah. I'm talking about truly talking to God about some things, sins that so easily beset us, sins that are hindering us, harming us in the race of God and our witness for the Lord. You know they're there. You know that they're there. They just creep in. They get there. In 10 minutes, I could take a minute each and give you an illustration of 10 different sins that could be in our life sitting in this building. And you know what? I'd miss every one of yours. But the Holy Ghost knows exactly where you're living. And if you'll listen to the sweet Spirit of God as he's showing you and telling you right now, you've got some things you need to straighten up. You got some things that you need to get right in your life. If you want me to lead you, if you want to learn of me, that you might grow in faith and that you might grow in the faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to confess your sin. We're going to have to must be an acknowledgement of our sin. The Bible says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsake them shall what? Have mercy. The psalmist said, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. God knows our sins. God knows them. It's not going to take him by surprise. Amen. And all we need to do is acknowledge them. I really believe that Philadelphia Baptist Church could have a greater power of God if we came in here a more pure people. I really believe our homes would be a better place if we was a bit more pure parents. Husbands and wives and children. If we would become. God is not wanting us to endure life. He's wanting us to enjoy life. He didn't save us if we might be dear. He saved us that we could enjoy the presence of the Spirit of God. That we can enjoy the promises of the Word of God. That we can enjoy that we have a blessed hope. That this is not our home. There's a greater land. We're going to get a glorified body. We're going to another. We have so much to enjoy as a child of God. But what hinders us from those enjoyments and what hinders our faith and makes us doubt, all kinds of makes us worry, is because we have a sin problem and we don't take care of that and it messes up our relationship with the Lord. Well, let me hasten on. Not only do we need to, these are basic, fundamental truths. You've heard them all your life. Not only do we have to acknowledge we're a sinner, but if we're going to be led by the Lord, taught by the Lord, if He's going to guide us, we're going to have to humble ourselves. Amen. You know why God can't lead some of us? Because of pride. It's just because of us. I mean, just pride. And do you realize you're never more like Satan than you are when you're living in pride? Yeah. What caused Satan to fall? He was lifted up in pride. Yeah. And when you and I lift ourselves in pride, when we're living prideful life, guess what's happening? When we're living prideful life, then we are not. We're more like Satan then than we ever can be. And we're not like the Lord wants us to be. Right. Now, I've said it in two different messages. Makes the third time I've used this illustration. So he said, won't you quit using it? Well, y'all start living it and I won't quit. It's so true. It's such a truth. When God needed a whale to swallow Jonah, God had a whale. Yeah. Hey, I'll change my illustration. When God needed a rooster to crow, He had a rooster available to crow. Amen. When He needed the wind to blow and the rains to come with the disciples on the ship, when He needed the storm to come, He called up a storm, and guess what happened? A storm came. But when He needed a messenger to take a message to Nineveh, Jonah said no. The only creation, only that can deny God is you and I. The animal kingdom will heed Him. He even said this. He said, I want to. I can make the rocks to cry out. And if He wanted to, the rocks could cry out. Hey, he needed a donkey to talk one time, and a donkey talk. We got people acting like donkeys talking. But anyway, he did. It talked. Right? What I'm trying to say is simply this. God has all He needs in this world but you. And what keeps us from being servant and being usable for the Lord, what keeps us from being usable is our pride. I'm saying, what keeps you from testifying to somebody? Well, I don't know what they'll think about the gospel. I don't know what they'll think about Jesus. They may not dislike Jesus. No, what do we say? I don't know what they'll think about me. Is that not true? Yeah. You go to witness somebody, one of the greatest things you have to get over is the fear of how they're going to respond to what? You. Yeah. Now, they may hit me. They may cuss me. They may get mad. And they may get saved. That's right. Well, what I'm trying to say is, but it's all concerned about what? What's going to happen to me? Yeah, what's going to happen to me? It's about us. It's about us. And so I just wonder if we wasn't living in pride, if we wasn't prideful and so prideful, if we wouldn't be a better light for the Lord, a better servant for the Lord, a better testimony for the Lord. You can see this in young people. It's just true. It's wonderful to see young people that are willing to sing out for the Lord. Amen. And when young people stops wanting to sing out for the Lord, you know what they got in mind? Yeah. Them. Too much pride. Amen. You can almost measure a young person's spirituality by how much they like to sing for the Lord. We must humble ourselves. The Bible says in James, it said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall what? Lift you up. What did Psalmist David? He said, I lift up my soul to you. What am I needing? He was needing the Lord to lift him up. And if you'll humble yourself, then God can lead you. God can guide you. Let me give you a couple more. If we are going to be led by the Lord, if we're going to be guided by the Lord, if we're going to walk in His truth and His right, you know what we have to be? Not only do we have to acknowledge our sin, not only are we going to have to be humble before the Lord, we're going to have to be obedient. He didn't know it to do good, knew it not. Him and his what? Sin. And that was Episcopalian saying. Okay. Let's try it in a Baptist way. He didn't know it to do good, knew it not. Him and his
sin.
Okay, that was Methodist. Let's try it one more time. All right. No, I'm just trying to say it. Hey, it's sin. Sin. What I'm trying to ask you this morning, in your life, in my life, will we be obedient to God? So it's not the things in the world. You that are younger Christians here and just not been saved a long time, don't worry about all them deep truths and theological things in the Word of God that one day you'll learn, probably one day that they'll, but don't worry about those right now. Just walk in the light that you've been given. And can I say for you and I, it's been saved for a long time. Lord, help us to walk in the light that we've been given. So we know. We know what we're supposed to do. We know how we're supposed to act. We know how we're supposed to respond. You are sitting in this building, most of the ones sitting in this building, they may be just a handful of people, but you've been raised in church, you've been around church, you've heard not just one, not just 100, but 1,000 messages. I mean, you've been to church for years, and with all that comes great knowledge, great light, great reflections in your life, and you've learned, and guess what? With that knowledge comes great responsibility. Great responsibility. You've had great pastors in the past. We've had great men to come through here and preach the Word of God. And with all that great wisdom and great light that's been shared becomes a great responsibility for you. Matter of fact, when you stand before God, you're going to give more account than when somebody that was living out west that didn't even have a church around. You and I must be obedient. Look at verse number 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. There's something in that thing to keep it. Hey, I'm a Christian. Well, how do you act like one? I'm a Christian. Well, do you live like one? If we put you on the jury, and we had some people here, could we convict you of being a Christian? We need to be obedient. Hey, has God asked you to do something in the last couple of weeks and you didn't do it? Has God asked you to witness somebody and you didn't do it? Has God showed you something in your life that you hadn't dealt with? That's disobedience. Pretty simple preaching this morning, isn't it? Let me give you the last one quickly. We must, if we're going to live for the Lord, we're going to let Him show us and guide us, we must reverence God. We must fear God. Amen. We must do a self-examination. The Bible says those that fear God. Fear God. I mean, we need to fear God. Have a reverence for God. So, if you really trust God, you'll fear God. Amen. If you really have faith in God and you trust God, you'll fear God.
Yeah.
Simple statement. Look at verse number 2. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Verse number 7. Remember not my sins or my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thy me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. He said, you know why I want you to remember me? I want you to remember me for your sake. What has God done for us? God has gave his son that he might have a people today called the church of the living God. And it's because of the goodness of God we're not consumed.
Yeah.
And so this morning, I wonder, if this morning, would you say, do you have a desire for God to lead you? Come on, sister. Do you have a desire for God to show you? Do you have a good desire for God to guide you? And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to reverence God. You have to give God the rightful position in your life. Do you know you can be saved and on your way to heaven, but God could still not be number one in your life? You've made Him God of your as your Savior, but you've not made Him the God, the Master of your life. And I really believe that's where a lot of us at. And I said we. That's where a lot of us is at. We've not given to God. And guess what? This is what Satan said. Brother Ray, if you really sell out, you know where you're going to be. You're going to be on the backside of somewhere in Africa. No. I don't mean that. You know what it means? It means you're going to be in the perfect will of God. And it could be that God's going to leave you and blossom you and bloom you where you're at. But that's why I say, oh, if you do that, then there'll be friends that'll forsake you. True? Probably will be. There'll be places you won't go tomorrow. Probably. True. Maybe. But what would you rather have? Just the good of this land or the best that God has to offer? I believe we're living just with the good. We're living in the goodness of God. And still living in the best of God has. Living in the perfect will of God. Selling our souls out. Lifting our souls up to Him. Saying, Lord, lead me. Teach me. If I could put it in Georgia language, this is what He's saying. Lord, use me. That's our theme for 2017, Lord. Use me. Use me. That's what He's saying. Forgive me of my sins. He's praying for pardon. What do you need this morning? We're standing, our heads bowed. Brother Mike's ready to sing.
Lord, we come to You in Jesus' name. Thank You for the opportunity to pray. Lord, the opportunity to come together. Lord, in agreement with Your word and in spirit to worship You this morning. To hear Your word, Lord. Lord, as we come back tonight, Lord, I pray that You'd meet with us, Lord, that we'd let what we hear, Lord, what we feel, God, and experience our worship to affect our walk with You throughout the week, Lord. We love You. Help us to think on You today. Glory to Your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.